Welcome to episode 491 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. 2 John 8, watch yourselves so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Watch yourselves so that you don't lose out. Hearing of the situation in the church, the Apostle John dashes off this letter as a way of reflecting his love and concern, although he would far rather speak to them face to face. His emphasis, don't lose out. How foolish it would be to give up now. This is what he reminds them. And the same applies to us today. How foolish to give up on the truth now. Despite all the problems surrounding us, and the difficulties, even in the church, we need to remember who the Lord is, whom we love. Deceivers are around. Problems abound, but we do not need to be fooled. This inspired letter commands us to walk in love. We need to set our spiritual priorities. 2 John 1. The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth. The notions of love and truth are repeated 6 times in the space of this brief epistle. John emphasizes the primary concepts that dominate both his first letter and his gospel. Truth without love is cold and formal, right without being winsome. Love without truth is misguided and dishonest, affectionate without being legitimate. By identifying God as being both of truth and love, John captures the essence of the way God operates and the response he wishes from us. The principles of God and his government rest on these 2 great pillars, rightly understood. Those 10 guidelines for abundant living are rooted in truth and love. The divine harmony of truth and love will have definite results in the life of the Christian. It will be expressed in words and actions. At the Last Supper, Jesus said this to his disciples in John 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. True, Jesus described this as a new commandment. And while it may have seemed new to his hearers at the time, it was a commandment that reflected the essential will and character of God since the very beginning. As John wrote in his first letter in 1 John 2, verses 7 and 8, this command I am writing you is not new. It is the old command, the one you have had from the very beginning. The old command is a message you have already heard. But the command I now write you is new because its truth is seen in Christ and also in you. God's command becomes new in the person of Jesus Christ. In him, it is most clearly revealed. This command was at the heart of Jesus' message. Only by walking in the truth can we find true obedience, which does not come through force or compulsion. We need to emphasize this point, for the devil has been very successful in suggesting that God does not operate this way. It can be said that ideas of divinely approved coercion are to be found in every example of human religion. But since Jesus stresses the love command, it becomes clear that God never compels or pressures any of his children to obey him. For if God can achieve his intentions by force, why does he not do so? Why did he not do so in the very beginning? Why subject Jesus to the ignominy of coming to earth as a human and dying on the cross? According to one author, if a man is to be convinced, the truth as it is in Jesus must be presented to his mind and must appeal to his heart. Christ refuses every other method, everything like compulsion or restriction or force. His only weapons are truth and love. If I be lifted up from the earth, he says, will draw all men unto me. Fallen humanity is drawn, not forced into any position. 2 John 7-8, for many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves, so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. John had to deal with deceivers who taught that Christ was not actually human. Arguments over the exact nature of Christ continue to plague the church and can be very divisive in their consequences. John maintains a biblical position that the nature of Christ was unique. He was fully God and fully man. Anything else leads us either to reduce his divinity or diminish his humanity. What are the dangers of listening to those who are false teachers? The tragedy is that you lose your way. Time and again this has happened, sometimes to dear friends in the church. Some intriguing person or idea comes along, and people become all worked up about the situation. Often this is linked to a denial of certain truths, and almost invariably to criticism of leadership and ministry. While not wishing to suggest that leaders and ministers are without fault, any idea or system that makes repeated attacks on the current church leaders must be viewed with suspicion, for it is only by denying others authority that such people can gain authority for themselves. While being careful not to deny the gradual revelation of truth, we must also identify with this position in 2 John 9. Anyone who does not stay with the teaching of Christ but goes beyond it does not have God. Christ is not contradictory. Anything someone has to say must be tested by what has already been revealed. While there may be some intriguing new presentation from a seemingly sincere preacher or teacher, nothing should take the place of Bible study. John goes on to say, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting, for whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. These verses seem to be harsh, suggesting that hospitality is to be denied and that we should not even greet certain people. John has already said enough to make clear that love must be demonstrated, but he makes clear that love is not a question of imprudent toleration. John wraps up this brief epistle with verses 12 and 13. Though I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk face to face so that our joy may be complete. The children of your elect sister greet you. We can see John's great love that comes straight from the heart. Separated by distance, his heart goes out to his brothers and sisters in the truth for whom he genuinely loves and cares. What a tremendous example to us. Christianity is shown for what it truly is when theological truth is played out in the lives of individual believers. John's greatest happiness is to be with his extended Christian family. He writes from genuine parental concern for those he loves in the truth, and he wishes more than anything else to be with them. He expresses a real and deeply felt love for these members of the church. Whatever the situation, lack of love in the church is a result of sin and selfishness. As we close, here are some questions for further reflection. How could fear of losing out become a selfish desire? What is the real danger from those who misstate the truth? How would you explain the divine harmony of truth and love? How do we make sure that we are not deceived? Father, help us to be so molded by your grace that we become more loving and caring people, and burn within us the desire to not lose out on the wonderful experience of being with you now and for all eternity, and together with all other believers. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.